Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, actually the Black Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan. I'm joined, as always, by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, do you have your belt unbuckled today because of all the turkey you ate last night, or what's the deal?
Joe, I am one of those guys that I try to make sure that psychologically I feel good about all that, so I made sure I wore pants that were a size too big, didn't have to wear the belt, made sure I had a shirt that draped over it, and felt pretty darn good. We had a great Thanksgiving, and I want to wish all the listeners a post-happy Thanksgiving. And, Joe, I imagine the Milligan Thanksgiving was a lot of fun.
Actually, you know, this was one year where we have not had a Milligan Thanksgiving yet. It was not on Thanksgiving Day. It'll be later. And hopefully I did go to the O'Briens, and we had a nice time there. And, you know, appreciated all the hospitality by Mike and Andrea O'Brien. But Milligan's have yet to have one, so.
Well, Joe, was it because you just didn't want to foot the bill for turkeys or something? Is that what it was all about?
I don't know. No, usually Cindy takes care of all that, but I think she was out of town. So, you know, our resident organizer wasn't around yesterday, so we had nothing. So we'll have something.
Well, we
I'm
had
sure
a great Thanksgiving. Joe, we had the Ken Schultheis family, vagabond straggler Thanksgiving. I have it every year. I send out a text message or email or phone call to my brothers or sisters, and I tell them we're eating, and they're invited. If they have no place to go or don't have are visiting Evansville or family members in the area, and they have no set plans for Thanksgiving, they're welcome at our house. We're eating no matter what. We had a nice crowd. We had about 14 or 15 people. My mother-in-law, Shirley Bartley, was down. Of course, my father-in-law passed away a little bit less than a year ago, so it was nice to have her at least feeling she wanted to get out and celebrate with us, and she's an absolute great cook, so that helped. My brother John and Maria and their family was in. Of course, John, we always called him Golden Boy growing up, and I was calling him Golden the whole day yesterday. We played euchre, and John was my partner. And it didn't matter who we played, Joe, we won. So we're like 6-0 on the evening playing euchre, a card game for our listeners who are not familiar with it. And my sister, Jennifer, her husband, Jody, and her family also came in. But it was nice to have Josh Page and Scott in the house as well. So we had a great Thanksgiving. My dad came by later. And then a bunch of them ran out to do Black Friday on Thursday. But let me say this, Joe. We had holiday yesterday. Mike and Mike, they weren't on their show today. They had some guy named Dan Dockage on there. Talk about a turkey. But the Coach K and Joe show have the coach and Joe ready to go.
Yeah, there is no vacations here. There's no such thing. We take our summer vacation, so we don't have time to take one right now. And, you know, there's so much going on, you know, with high school basketball starting and Indiana high school state championships in football actually, if you want to get live updates on the Purdue game, I will be watching it starting at 11 while I'm in a multitask starting at 11 today.
And we might remind our listeners, and most of them know because they're sports people anyway, a lot of Thanksgiving college basketball tournaments going on. Of course, we have important football games coming up this weekend as far as rivalries are concerned. Purdue and IU among them, Michigan, Ohio State. We've got, as you said, the high school season. We'll talk a little bit about some of the high school games that took place. I was in Washington, Indiana. For our listeners outside the state, Washington, Indiana, the southern part of Indiana, where the Zeller trio is from. I took in the Washington Hatchet game with number one 118 Bar Eve. We'll talk about that. We've got Don Schulteis coming up a little later in the show, probably in about 20 minutes or so. He's going to talk about some Indianapolis area high school basketball. He does a great job with that. Later in the show, before the top of the hour, I think Bill Somm, our Indianapolis high school football contributor and NCAA guy, is going to be on. His son, Zach, will be playing for a state championship this weekend with Indianapolis Cathedral. That's got to be exciting for him. But even he didn't take time off. He wanted to come on the Coach K and Joe show and talk about some of the state football final games that are going on. So much to talk about. And, Joe, how about the Indiana Pacers? 14-1. I mean, they are, you talk about Pacer pride, they're just playing great basketball. Frank Vogel has those guys hitting on every cylinder, from Paul George to Hibbert in the middle to the bench. They're playing defense. They're tough on offense. They're playing great. And, of course, yesterday, Thanksgiving is traditional for football. I remember growing up watching the Detroit Lions and Chicago Bears on Thanksgiving Day football, Barry Sanders running the ball. The Lions were on yesterday, and they pounded the Green Bay Packers. My brother John is a big Packer fan, and he went in to watch them. He watched 5 minutes, saw that the game was like 40 to 10. He walked back out and started talking to us. The Pack ain't back. They're in trouble.
They're not back. They're not back. Hey, I got a quick question for you. I'm setting, you know, the DVR right now to tape the Purdue game, and it's asking me for, do I want to tape longer than the 2 hours extended period? Now, with the way games have went this year, should I tape an extra hour or an extra hour and a half? What do you think will be safe?
I tell you what, I think you better go with 3 hours. I know a lot of fans, a lot of players, coaches, a lot of people are frustrated. I know you're one of them, Joe. They're really frustrated with the emphasis on calling the holds, the hand guarding, the touching, the bodying, and it's causing a lot of free throws. It's causing a lot of play stoppage. The games are lasting longer. But, Joe, as Coach K has said before, and I'm going to say it again, sorry for talking in the third person, the rule never changed. The emphasis on the rule changed, and it got out of hand. And, you know, everybody says, well, they're doing it because there wasn't enough scoring. Well, I tell you, Purdue's scoring a lot more points, so it must be helping. But more importantly than that, I think that the game is played by moving your feet. Football is played by using your hands. Basketball is played by moving your feet, especially on defense. I really believe that if the emphasis continues, by the time we get into another month of the season, really, first of the year, I think you're going to see this go back a little bit. You know, habits take about 14 to 21 days to break. And so as you're practicing and working on this, Joe, eventually we're going to get back to a normal game. Having said that, put the DVR on 3 hours at least.
Let me ask you another question. Do you see teams that can adjust going to zone just to try to keep their players on the floor?
Oh, I think we'll absolutely see teams play some more zone. But if I'm on offense, I'm going to work on penetrating that zone. I'm going to work on hitting the gaps. Because even in a zone, if guys don't move their feet, they're going to reach, they're going to try to body, and the fouls are going to be called. I'd be flashing that zone. You know, I was watching a high school game the other night. It was Bar Eve and Washington. And one of the things I noticed is not a lot of guard cutting through the middle to open up that middle. And if I'm a team out there, I'm doing a lot of guard cutting. after the initial pass. I'm doing a lot of flashing to the elbow to create high lows. I'm doing a lot of sealing up. And even if you're in a zone, that's going to create some issues. If you're not moving your feet, if you're just putting your arm out there or shoving with your forearm, it's going to get called Joe.
Now, let me ask you this question. Should teams, you know, I've read the Purdue message boards, and they've kind of griped about it. You know, I've kind of evaluated it. And don't you also use that as to your advantage? For instance, yesterday in the Oklahoma-Purdue game, the Purdue team the first half stood around a lot, jacked up a bunch of stupid shots. Well, the second half, they started driving to – they went from, what, 23 down? They cut it to 4 at one point. They started driving to the basket. They started – you know, using it to their advantage. They were drawing fouls. They were getting free throws. They at one time had, you know, their best player on the bench because of foul trouble. Don't you see that go towards their best player if they're going to call it close and try to draw some fouls on him? Or, you know, is that a strategy to use?
Oh, I if you go back to a couple shows ago when we talked a little bit about the emphasis of the rule, I talked about the fact if I was coaching right now, I would really spend a lot of time moving that basketball, ball reversal, skip passes, and then penetrating. And in the open court, a lot of dribble drive, because they are really emphasizing this call. A lot of teams, Joe, are not ready to move their feet the way they need to be. And they're starting to still forearm. They're still forearming. They're still bumping, and the fouls are going to be called. So, if I'm a team that's not a great outside shooting team, or I'm not shooting the ball well from the perimeter, I'll do exactly what you just said. We're going to penetrate. We're going to cut. We're going to flash. We're going to get a lot of movement on the floor and force those guys to either move their feet or try to guard us with their arms, their forearms, their hands, and that's where the fouls are being called. Because they're not thinking – they're not thinking with their feet. They're thinking with their body right now in terms of they're just using their body to play defense. You can't do that anymore. And I will applaud the officials, Joe. I think it's pretty consistent on the college level, and I'm seeing some of that on the high school level as well. If you're not moving your feet, if you're not getting into position, you're not going to get any breaks. So, yeah, Joe, absolutely. That was a great strategy move on their part. So we look at Purdue, who picked up their first loss. Butler continues to win. They'll play Oklahoma State. IU bounces back with a big win. Indiana State playing well. The Aces played well until they played Indiana, and they just, you know, I want to spend a couple minutes and just comment on the Indiana Aces game, because we have a lot of listeners who are IU fans, of course, and I am one. We also have listeners who are Aces fans, University of Evansville, and Marty Simmons and I are good friends. My family's good friends with Marty. My brother John was in college at the same time at the University of Evansville, and we called him Simba back then. Evansville went into Bloomington undefeated, one of the highest shooting percentage teams in the country. Indiana, much to their credit, not only was more athletic, not only were they more skilled, but I saw an Indiana team really take pride on the defensive end. Now, if you watch the game, I've also got to say that Evansville did not shoot the ball well. And some of the Evansville players talked about, some of the Aces players talked about, the length of IU bothered them. And I do believe that. But if you went back and looked at the first 7 minutes of that basketball game, you would see that it wasn't the length of the Hoosiers physically that bothered them as much as it was the length and the quickness of the shots that they took for the Aces. A lot of three-pointers that didn't go. They were not hitting the shots. They were dribbling a lot. And, I mean, not dribbling anywhere, just dribbling in areas. They weren't moving the ball. They gave the advantage to Indiana on defense, the whole first 7 or 8 minutes because Indiana did use their length, did use their athletic ability to their advantage because they didn't have to do a whole lot. So the Aces dug themselves a really big hole. But they had a timeout. They came out of it. They pulled their offense up high, let Indiana overplay them defensively up high, and then they started doing some back cutting. So they came up with some easy buckets. Then they started moving the basketball. Folks, if you really want to understand how to beat a defense, watch the teams that just dribble and watch the teams that move the ball, reverse it from side to side, skip it. Those are the teams that break a defense down, that tire defenses out, which hurts them offensively. Those are the teams that get something done on the offensive end. The University of Evansville Aces under Coach Simmons have always they've always done that. But for some reason, they didn't do that early in the game against the Hoosiers. And I'll tell you what, there was too much of a disparity as far as the athletic ability, the length, the size between IU and UV, and they could not afford to get off to a bad start the way they did. So the Aces took their first loss. The Hoosiers rebounded from their loss out at against UConn out at Madison Square Garden in New York, and all is good in Bloomington right now. Purdue suffered their first loss, but they got a chance to come back and get a victory. So college basketball is in full swing. There's a lot of good players out there, a lot of good freshmen. I hate to admit it, but Kentucky's got several, and Julius Randle is one of the best in the country. If he's not one of the top 3 to 5 guys that will be picked next year in the NBA draft, I would be shocked. Keep an eye on Noah Vonleh from Indiana. He's pretty solid. His game needs to continue to expand, but it will. They also have a couple of other pretty solid players there as well. Joe, high school basketball is in full throttle as well. I watched Bar Eve at Washington on Wednesday night. Great crowd. It was great atmosphere. Bar Eve's got a solid team. Washington, under longtime coach Gene Miller, outstanding coach, they're going to struggle again. Jasper opened up with Evansville-Harrison on Tuesday. Of course, Evansville-Harrison is highly ranked, one of the top teams in the state as far as the pollsters are concerned. Jasper played them pretty well. In fact, Joe, they were with them 3/4 of the game for sure.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah, I was kind of interested to see this Jasper team. You know, you lost a lot of seniors last year, going to play a lot of young people. And, you know, with a little blend of Philip Hoopsman and Cortland Betts, the seniors for leadership, and Kyle McWilliams. And, you know, they look really nice. They have a freshman point guard, Nottingham, that's played quite a bit. And he's going to be a really good player for them over the years. But also, you know, the three-point shooting, they shot the ball well. Tyler Begley and Nolan Aarons, what, 2 weeks ago playing football. And now he's 22 or 24 points for the Wildcats. And, you know, I think that they're going to get out and run a little bit more. And they, you know, I didn't get to go to the game physically, but I got to watch it on WJTS yesterday. And, you know, they did a nice job of they weren't fazed at all. You know, the way the game started out, you know, it was Duncan, and they weren't fazed, and they fought back, and Tyler Baker hit some big threes, and they came back, and you know they never got even with them later in the game, but they always stayed in the game. You know, one of those things where you thought maybe okay, it might be the time for the Duncans to take over, which I think the Duncans had what 59 out of the 74 points, so. So that, you know, that's a force to be reckoned with.
And for our listeners who are not familiar with some of the high school teams in the state of Indiana, because, you know, Joe, as we have to remind our – we have listeners via the Internet, not just all over the country, but literally internationally we have listeners that tune into the show. So for those, we're talking about a Southern Indiana high school team in Evansville, Indiana, and it's Evansville-Harrison. They have on their team right now the starting point guard, last name is Duncan, the two forwards, last name's Duncan, and on the reserve team is a freshman who will probably play some varsity before it's over this year named Duncan. Yes, they're all brothers. Stanley and Everett run about 6'7", 6'6". And their oldest brother, the point guard, he's going to Vermont on a scholarship. But, Joe, here's the thing that I thought was interesting. I asked a couple people who were at the game. They were at the game, and I asked them about it. And I said, one of my concerns is, did Stanley and Everett Duncan expand their games enough, and they're still young, expand their games enough to create what I call an inside-outside force for Harrison? Because I don't think Harrison can go past the sectional round in their class, or for sure the regional, if those guys don't become what I call strong inside players, expanding their game. The first comments that I was told from people I respect, no, they haven't. They're still perimeter-oriented. That team is going to have nights when they're not hitting that perimeter shot. Those guys better be able to go bang on the boards. Those guys better be able to get the ball in the post and do something with it. Having said that, they're outstanding players. Coach Spears does a great job. Evansville-Harrison is going to be a handful night in, night out for anybody out there. But you have to look at what makes you a better team. You have to look at where your weaknesses lie, and you have to get those taken care of. And obviously, the summertime was the perfect time to do it. It's not too late during the season, although it's a little more difficult. But those guys have to be comfortable, Joe, playing inside. They have to use their quickness, their length, because they're long. Everett and Stanley are long, and they've got to use those to their advantage. And I think the Jasper game said a lot about that. I mean, this was a game really that was perimeter. It was a perimeter-oriented game, and Jasper hung around with them the whole way.
Yeah, you know, I think it bodes well for Jasper. You know, they have a big one coming up. Mount Carmel's got a nice team, you know, out of Illinois. That for those out of the area there, and even though they're from Illinois, they are a conference team. They are in the Big 8 conference, and and Evansville Memorial. So, you know, I guess Jasper will find out pretty quickly. You know, I mean, you might be able to help me on the Evansville Memorial team this year. I know that they usually have a strong team, but I do not know much about them as an opponent this year.
Yeah, they're going to be a pretty good team, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we talk high school basketball. Post-Thanksgiving Turkey Day, I'm surprised Joe didn't come up with some gobble-gobble music, but that's okay. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to have Don Schulteis, our Indy correspondent on high school hoops. You know the great thing about the Coach K and Joe show? You don't have to listen to a stand-in on the holiday. Dan Dockage isn't here talking crap, talking smack. You're getting the truth from Coach K and Joe. We're going to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Don Schulteis. We'll talk more high school hoops up in the Circle City of Indianapolis. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
So, Roy, let me ask you, what have you been doing all these years?
After the hand, there was the 80s, for a while. drinking. a lot of drinking.
Are you still drinking?
No. I don't. That's behind me now. Why are you buying?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. Honey, you and I. 'Cause I'll take any risk.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're talking to the coach post-Turkey Day. On the Coach K and Joe Show, this is Ken Schulteis, and speaking of drinking or buying a drink, that's not anything to do with our next guest. I just thought I'd mention that. But if you're buying, I might take a drink. It could be a Coke. It doesn't always have to be alcoholic. We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. We're talking some Indianapolis high school basketball, some hoops up in the Circle City. And we're bringing on our post-Turkey Day turkey, Don Schulteis. Don, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Coach K. It's good to be on and talking some high school basketball, even though we've got to wrap up the high school state football championships today and tomorrow. Hoops has started up here, and I know it started down there, and it's going to be a great season.
Don, you talked about the fact that we still have the football state finals going on, and we don't want this to seem like we're putting hoops before. We know we got Bill Somm coming on after you to talk about high school football. It wouldn't be that Coach K prefers to talk high school hoops. Not at all. I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression, but it is basketball season in the state of Indiana, and there is nothing better. And if you go to the Facebook site for the Coach K and Joe Show on Facebook, I've posted a picture that Chad Stone had sent to me of the Washington Hatchets Bar Eve game at Washington at the great history there at the Hatchet House. And, Don, you know a lot about that. It's a gym in a town of about 12,000, 11,000. It seats 7,000. Some great games, great players. But that's what Hoosier Hysteria is all about. And as much as Hoosier Hysteria is up and going in the small towns, there is great basketball in a mecca of sports in Indianapolis, and that's what we want to talk a little bit about today. Don, we've got some pretty good players up in Indianapolis, but we've got some pretty good teams, and that's kind of what I want to hit on. Get your analysis, at least at the beginning of the season, of who you think are some of the top teams in Indy.
All right, well, I just wanted to highlight Hoops has really started off this week, and already this week, James Blackman Jr., who I think is no doubtedly one of the top three for Mr. Basketball, dropped 54 points the other night against Irvington Prep in a win. Marion scored 102 points and beat Irvington Prep 102-43, but already 54 points by James Blackman Jr., and we all know where he's committed and signed to go. Next year, he's going to be playing for Tom Crean and the Indiana Hoosiers. Had Trayvon Blewett's Park Tudor team, who's another top, I think, three candidate for Mr. Basketball in the Class 2A Park Tudor, 21-3 last year. They won 90-52 over University, and he had 30-something coming off, averaging 28 points, 9 rebounds, and then Indianapolis Tech with a big win over Warren Central, 67-65 on Wednesday night. They're going to be playing Bowman Academy in a shootout up at Bowman Academy today as their next game. So a lot of things going on, and it's just really going to be one of those years of musical chairs. I think Last year, if you remember, we'd talk about top teams, and every week things would change because one team was beating up on another team, and somebody that had lost a couple in a row beat somebody that had won five in a row. And I think it's going to be one of those years again, but I have come up with kind of my top four and five teams. Two of those squared off earlier in the week in Pike and North Central. North Central, if you remember, Aaron Gordon, sophomore sensation, averaged 20 points and four rebounds a game as a freshman last year, leads North Central. They played Pike, who was 23-4 and had three outstanding guards that have graduated, and they squared off, and Pike ends up beating North Central by 4 points earlier in the week. And those are two, I think, of the top five teams, at least going into this season. So already North Central has a loss. They play Richmond coming up here in their next game, and Indianapolis Pike will be playing Fishers of up here close to Indianapolis suburb. So a lot of squaring off early in the season. To round out my top five, Coach K, I've got at number three Park Tudor, and as I said, they're led by Trevon Blewett and Austin Shelton. Trevon's a 6'6 guard who's committed to Xavier, averaged 28 points a game last year, 9 rebounds. Austin Shelton is their point guard. And he's averaging 13 points, 3 assists a game. They had their win over University, and will be playing Indianapolis Ron Colley here in the week ahead. Number two, and they could end up being number one again, is Carmel. And Carmel, under the coaching of Scott Hetty, which I happen to think could be the top coach in the state of Indiana. He's won the last two state championships. I know Carmel's got a lot of talent year in and year out, but for him to play the schedule that he plays every year and be able to restock those shelves and get things going, it's pretty unbelievable. If they win it again in 4A this year, that would be the first time since Odin and Connolly did it during the 04 to 06 run that they had at Lawrence North. And Carmel's led by Zach McRoberts, the brother of Josh McRoberts, who's an NBA star. He's 6'7", committed to Vermont. And Ryan Klein is a sharp shooter from the outside, beyond the three line, 6'2", junior guard. They defeated Brownsburg 54-41 on Wednesday night. And they'll be coming up against one of their rivals, next-door neighbor in Noblesville. And then my hands-down favorite team. And it's interesting because they just won 67-65 over Warren Central on Wednesday night, is Indianapolis Tech. And I've been talking about Trey Lyles since I've come on your show over the last couple of years, Coach. And he's a senior. He's committed to Kentucky in what turned out to be a bit of a circus with regard to his announcement and decommitting from Indiana and then courting four or five schools. But he's the real deal. He's also supported by some tremendous talent. Jeremy Tyler, a 6'3 guard who's committed to Ball State, is back. I've watched these guys play at least 8 times over the last couple of years. They're really good. And Rashawn Richardson, who's a 6'8 forward, who's also going to Ball State, and sophomore point guard by the name of C.J. Walker, who is not committed yet, but only getting better, and there's a lot of big-time schools looking at him. So hands down, Indianapolis Tech is my favorite, not only in the metro area, but I think they're the best team in the state. And we'll see if anybody that is listening thinks that they got another pick for best team in the state. Let's talk about it, because I think Tech, not to say they're going to go undefeated, but if they don't win the state championship in 4A this year, I don't know if they're ever going to be able to do it. So keep your eyes on Tech. They got a lot of talent. I'm sure there'll be some controversy throughout the season to some degree with them just because of that talent. But they are hands down my favorite.
Again, to our listeners, if you just joined us, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. Don Schulteis, our Indy Hoops, high school hoops contributor, and very emphatic. Don, I don't think you had any dumplings or dressing yesterday. I think it was all protein, all turkey, because you are fired up today and pretty emphatic. And I've written down these top teams. Don, all of these schools boast enrollments of 2,000-plus, don't they, other than Park Tudor?
Yeah. All of the other four schools, Tech, Carmel, North Central, and Pike, are, you know, big schools up here, perennial powers, but it just seems like they've got the programs rolling and the talent seems to find that.
Well, the point I was going to make is a lot of times in other states, when you get into the major cities and the larger schools, the sports programs actually don't run very well. They have individual talent, but the teams don't do well. Kids drop out. They play AAU. They don't play for their high school teams. I still think that cities like Indianapolis are unique here in the state of Indiana because, when you look, if you're a fan of high school basketball or a fan of basketball in general, if you are near the Indianapolis area, and I think, Don, you can expand on this a little bit, my point, but there are so many good teams with good players and good coaches that night in and night out, as far as game night is concerned, there are marquee matchups throughout the city with great basketball, team-wise and individuals. It's just great basketball to watch.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, in the MIC conference up here, you've got teams like Lawrence North, who didn't make my top five, but they would be right there, as well as Warren Central, who didn't make my top five, but played Tech already Wednesday night, the 2 points. Carmel, Warren Central, LN, North Central, Pike, all these schools are playing against each other in their conference, so they're battling game in and game out. I know last year, for example, Cathedral ends up playing Tech during the season, during the Hall of Fame Classic, for the city championship, and then in the sectional. So there is so much parity, so much talent, and week to week, there's always at least one, if not a handful of big games where really good, well-coached, talented teams are battling each other, and it just makes it makes my job coming on here difficult, Coach, because you have to hold me up to where my picks are. But boy, it changes week to week sometimes because they're beating up on each other. But from a fan standpoint, it's just awesome.
It's great about the state when it comes to basketball, and certainly football as well. But the conferences, as much as the tournament has always mattered, conferences have always been important in the state of Indiana as far as high school basketball. Very prestigious to talk about the conference that you were in, especially if you were in some of the great conferences over the years. And one of these shows maybe soon will have a few coaches that coached during the 60s and the 70s to come on and talk about some of those great conferences. I remember growing up, the SIAC conference, Don, and you'll remember, had the Terre Haute schools, all the Evansville schools, Jasper, Princeton, Tell City. I mean, the best basketball programs in the southern part of the state were members of that SIAC, to the point that they had an A and B division because the teams were so good. If you won that conference, it meant something. But if you competed well in that conference, the odds were, in the one-class system, mind you, the odds were that you were going to come out possibly that semi-state round and end up in the at least the Final Four.
No doubt about it. And those were, looking back to those days, we grew up right around it with our father being the head basketball coach at Jasper through most of the 70s and the rivalries and just the competition that you had really got you ready. Regardless of whether you won the conference, you were ready for the tournament. I think that you know, comparing that to football, I think Cathedral has done that up here, among a couple of other schools where they're not afraid to play teams that are very talented. They might be outside the state, they might be across the state, what have you, but they're not afraid to have maybe a losing record or a 500 season, but they know come the end of the season they're ready for the tournament. And you know what? Cathedral's playing for their fourth state championship in football, and they came into the tournament with a losing record for the second year in a row, and here they are. You know, it could be a four-peat. And just to give a little plug, Coach, to Bill Somm's son, he's a senior at Cathedral, Zach Somm, who's a committed tight end to Ball State. He's number 83 for everybody that's going to be watching the game. But think about him. He has been there, and I was talking to him last night, and he said, you know, I have never seen us lose a playoff game in my 4 years. And they're coming down to the last one, and that's pretty exciting. But the point being, you're right, the competition makes a difference. And I think sometimes for some of these programs that have great regular seasons, but they're not playing anybody and they get bumped out of the tournament early, there's probably some kind of a reason for that. And people should not be afraid to beef up that schedule, and fans should welcome that because they're going to be prepared for the tournament, and that's when it counts. And it makes for great, exciting years. And, you know, as a coach, Coach K, as you run through the tournament and you get on a roll, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that, Don. And you know, you talk about the level of competition. It really bothers me when I hear high school coaches, and I do hear them, when high school coaches will say, you know, we just don't have the players that we need to have. We need to dumb down our schedule a little bit. I just disagree so much. I think I've heard coaches say before, and I've seen it, when you have a decent team and you play really good teams, your record's not going to be that great. But when you get into the tournament with teams that are more at your level, the game slows down for you. And the game speeds up for your opponent because you understand how to play at a different level. And that gives you the opportunities to move through. And so I would encourage fans to be when your teams are playing good quality schedules, don't be so hard on the outcome. Look at how they're playing against those teams, if they're competitive. Don't always focus on the outcome because it's going to help them be better later on. Don, you gave us your top five in the Indy area team-wise. Give us your top five, and I know this changes. Give us your top five players right now in Indy.
Oh, in Indy, I think that number one is Trey Lyles. I just have a lot of respect for him. You know, even though he didn't play in the final game of the sectional last year because of a tweaked knee, I mean, the guy's got the numbers. He's two-time player of the year, the city of Indianapolis, and he's going into his senior year. I also have a lot of respect because there was a lot of rumors about him going off to a prep school, and he stuck around, and he really wants to make some memories and hopefully history for that Tech squad this year. So he's my number one, followed closely by Trayvon Blewett. And Trayvon was on Park Tudor with Yogi Ferrell, if you remember. They've won a couple of state championships. He got bumped out last year, I think, in the regional. But they've got a very talented 2A team, and I would not be surprised if he leads them back to the state championship. And we'll see, you know, where we go from there. Then I drop down to some underclassmen, Coach K. Aaron Gordon, obviously the brother of the Gordon dynasty of basketball talent with Evan and Eric Gordon. He's a sophomore at North Central and really is the leader of that team. And he, at his age, is really playing more like a senior than a sophomore, and started every game last year, averaged 20 points a game. You're going to see big things from Aaron over the next year. I can't believe we're going to be watching him for really 3 years, this year and two more years after that. So there's a very talented sophomore by the name of Kyle Guy at Lawrence Central. I watched him last year as a freshman, 13.5 points per game, 5.5 rebounds he averaged last year. I know Indiana, Purdue, Indiana's offered him, and I'm not clear if Purdue's actually offered him, but I know they're on his radar, and he's gotten some offers from some other major schools. So it's going to be exciting to watch him. And then I'd say Zach McRoberts should be a very talented player to watch at Carmel. He's a team player, so his numbers are not, you know, glaringly outstanding, but man, the guy has been on two back-to-back state championships. Here they are in a position where they could do it again as him being a senior. And I like kids that are part of teams that just seem to win year in and year out. And he's been one of those key pieces. And then the final person that I'll talk about is PJ Thompson. He's a senior from Brabup. He's 5'11", a little on the shorter side. But boy, he can fill it up. He averaged 24 points a game last year, and he's definitely going to be somebody that's going to be making some noise with Brabup this year. I'm not sure how much they've got to go with him, but he's definitely a talented player that people are going to hear about.
Well, I tell you what, listeners, if you have some other players out there that you think should be among the top five in the Indy area or maybe in the state, let us know. Text us. You can text me, Coach K, at 812-480-9449. You can call into the show at 773-897-6325. You can go to our Facebook page, our Twitter, at Coach K and Joe. We're on Twitter. Let us know who are the top players, who are the top teams in your opinion, who are the top conferences? We want to know. We want to talk about it. We want you to have the opportunity to talk about it as well. So we may have some callers, Don. Why don't you hang around with us for a little bit? I do want to mention, Don, before we move to a commercial break, you normally come down to the Vagabond Straggler, Ken Schulteis family Thanksgiving, but you were not able to come this year.
No, as you guys pointed out, couple shows ago, my daughter Geneva underwent a major scoliosis surgery. She basically has two 14-inch titanium rods fused to her spine a couple weeks ago. The great thing is it was a highly successful surgery, and Dr. David Schwartz, head of the team that did that, they corrected her. She had two curves on her spine, Coach. One was 60 degrees, the other, I think, 57, 58 degrees, and he was able to correct them to 17 degrees and 14 degrees. So he was thrilled. We're thrilled. Geneva will be finally going back to school probably this week for at least part of the days and easing back into real life. But it's been, a little bit scary at times, but things were successful, and we're really blessed and excited to have her up and around. So,
well, I wish my niece the best, and we missed you this year, but I'm sure we'll be able to hook up again in the future. Don, we're going to go to break. If you want to hang around, maybe come back later on the show when we talk a little bit about the Hoosiers, the Oak and Bucket game coming up, something like that. But when we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Bill Sommer. We're going to be talking football state championship in the state of Indiana. Of course, his son is going to play for one at Cathedral, but there's a bunch of other teams vying for state titles. We got a lot to talk about, folks, and you're not getting stand-ins like the Mike and Mike show. You're getting the truth with Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Brother Thomas, you know what it says in the Bible about not forgiving people.
Why don't you tell us all what it says, Brother Hezekiah?
It's against it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We are back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and you're talking with the coach live and in person, no stand-in guest for this post-holiday special. Ken Schulteis here with you along with Joe. You know, we had a Thanksgiving dinner yesterday, and my mother-in-law came down. And one of the things I talked with my mother-in-law about, Shirley Bartley, is quilting. And I know this seems off the cuff here, but I really respect people with a lot of talent, focus, and skills. And we got out all these quilts and talked about the history of them, the time and effort she put into them, beautiful works of art. And it's interesting because as I talked with her, I realized that the time and effort that she put in, which was hours and hours on each quilt that she made, and we probably got 20 over the years, there's a piece of her in time and effort, but each quilt has a piece of her signature. It's unique to her in the way she stitches, the patterns, the patchwork, whatever it might be. My point is that's how I look at coaches. That's how I look at players. Their skill level is not the end all, how talented they are. They leave with us in every game, in every practice, in every season, in every career, a signature on how the game's played, on how things are done. And you see it outside of sports in what people do in their life, vocationally, professionally, or just the talents that they possess. So you have to respect that. And my next guest, Bill Somm, who is our football contributor in the Indianapolis area, former executive with the NCAA. Bill, first of all, happy Thanksgiving and welcome to the show.
Happy Thanksgiving, Coach, and to all your listeners. Thanks.
You know, my lead-in was your son's coming up to the end of his high school career. Don Schulteis, our basketball contributor from Indy, mentioned that Zach had told him that, you know, I've never lost been a part of a loss in a playoff game since I've been in high school. Whether it's coaches, whether it's players, and you've done that, career, season, signature, people who invest their time, their energy, their effort, who make commitments, who give of themselves, they invest, they don't just play the game. They don't just win or lose the game or coach the team or develop the player. They actually are leaving a signature, a piece of themselves, an identity or identification with that season, with that game, with that career. And I kind of get that feeling as we talk about teams going for state championships with your son Zach and his teammates. They're leaving a signature, a piece of themselves with the career they've had, the season they've had, and this final game they play.
Well, I think that's an excellent point, and I think all 12 teams are in that same position this weekend. These kids have paid a price starting, you know, on the field since last June, in the weight room since last January. Some came off a difficult season, like Westfield was 3-7 last year, Coach, and now they're in the state championship game, or they came off, other schools came off like Cathedral with a state championship. So everybody had to react in different ways, but these kids on these 12 football teams certainly have a lot of memories. Yesterday was obviously a great day with family and friends, but it was kind of fun at Cathedral High School because we had about 250 fans up watching the last practice for the seniors, and it was a really great day. The other thought that I thought I'd share with you at the top, and by no means do I consider myself a historian of Indiana state football playoffs, but, Coach, somebody's got to tell me a year that has a better set of games for the weekend. Holy cow. These are just some great, great matchups all the way from 1-6.
And that's the exciting thing about, you know, you're coming off a time where families get together, holidays, Thanksgiving, giving thanks for things. What a better way to end this holiday weekend, but teams that have, as you said, some coming off successful past seasons, others who had to strap them on and find a new approach mentally and physically to get it done, coaches leaving signatures on their team on how they play, players leaving it on the field. What a great time for family, friends, alumni, people to just take pride. And I'm sure every player is going to be thankful as they go out there on that field and have a chance to play for a state championship.
Well, that's exactly right. And Zach and I just spent about a half hour together here before the call, and we talked a lot about embracing the moment, enjoying the moment, playing relaxed, trying to file things away in your brain so when you're 35 years old and you're sitting around at another Thanksgiving, you can tell stories. And, you know, we're very fortunate as the other 11 teams that I hope all these kids, I hope all these coaches embrace the moment. I was fortunate enough, Coach Ressler, the head coach at Brebeuf, stopped by this morning, and we wished him luck. And that's the same thing he and I talked about, is that you gotta embrace the moment, gotta live in the moment. He's a little bit different as a head coach. He's got to look long term and short term, but it's a great moment for the entire squad and the support staff and the coaching staff and the trainers. It's a great weekend for these 12 teams.
You know, Bill, I think one of the most important things you said, and I think we've all been guilty of it, whether it's being a player or being a coach, I know I have. Although I have a lot of great memories, wins and losses, believe me, because you're dealing with people, there are times, and I try to share this with young men and women, with other coaches when they start to go through some of these things. You said it best. File some of these things away. Be in the moment. Enjoy the moment. Don't get so caught up on seeing that final tick on the clock and the score. Enjoy this moment. Take it in. Take a deep breath. Let it soak in. If you've got ability, if you guys are ready to play, you'll do what you need to do on the field, but be in the moment. Be a part of it.
Well, Coach, that's right, and you were a great, great coach, and you know as well as I, when you get to this game, I think the phrase at least that I used with the kids that I coached, and certainly my own son, was just do your personal best. You know, everything else will take care of itself. You're in the game that you've dreamed about since you were old enough to dream, and just enjoy the moment. And do your personal best. And if every kid does their personal best, they'll be able to go to sleep tonight or tomorrow night and be at peace with whatever that scoreboard says.
Well, let's get on with that scoreboard, and let's talk about some of these teams and run us through. Let's start at the bottom, and when I say the bottom, I mean number one at Class 1A. Let's work our way up, and let's talk about who's playing for state championships, give them their due, and wish them luck. Let's start with 1A and move on through.
Well, in 1A, we have Tri-Central at 13-1 versus Eastern Hancock at 14-0. Eastern Hancock has a 73 Sagarin rating at Tri-Central is at a 63. I think Eastern Hancock's play a little bit tougher schedule. I think that may be the game that if any game gets away from anybody, I think Eastern Hancock may be able to put some points on the board over Tri-Central. Should be a good high school football game, but Eastern Hancock is just really rolling at 14-0. They play at noon today, Coach, so we're just moments away from kickoff, about 60 minutes. So those kids are on the field right now warming up, and I think in Class A we're looking at Eastern Hancock. Up in 2A, we have, which of course the game is tomorrow, at noon in Lucas Oil. We have Tipton at 11-3 versus Cardinal Ritter at 12-2. Now Ritter got beat last year by Bishop Lurz 40-28 in the championship game. So that's kind of one of the storylines that we spoke with at the top. Here's a team that was in the game last year, got beat, and got beat handily at 40-28, but they're back in it, and they're a very good football team. Tipton's quarterback, though, Austin Hooker, is darn good, as is. This is kind of a quarterback game because Cardinal Ritter's quarterback, Jake Pertica, is very good also. So I think in this game it's going to be very close, probably a touchdown apart. Probably last team with the ball prevails, but if you're into watching nice quarterbacks, that 2A game, Tipton Ritter, is got two nice quarterbacks to watch today. The three game, as we already mentioned, is Brebeuf Jesuit, who has never been in a state championship game. They're 11-3. They have their hands full. They play another Catholic high school, Andrean, at 14-0. And this is a really, really, really good matchup. Again, with quarterbacks, too. Brebeuf has a 6'4 quarterback. He's a junior, can run, and he can throw. I think the key with Brebeuf is their running back, Levante Bellamy. He presently has offers from Cincinnati and Toledo. He's getting letters from the SEC and the Big 12 schools. He has 2,200 yards rushing, Coach. Now, he's only 5'9", 175. But if he gets a step on you, it's Katie bar the door. I think you're going to see it's going to be tough. I think Brebeuf's got their hands full, so I think that's a kind of a pick'em game. But that's a lot of passing in this game, a lot of creative coaches offensively, and it's going to be very, very interesting. Both teams average over 30 points a game.
Hey, real quickly, Bill, let me jump in on that point about creative coaches. You get in this championship game, and as a coach on the football field, are you holding something back? Do you have that one play you're ready to use, one defensive scheme you're ready to use, or are you sticking with what you've done all year, what got you there?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, and I think 95% of the folks, their cards have been on the table for the last 6 weeks because, as you know, lose and go home, win and go on, so you really don't hold anything back. Is there maybe a new formation that you run the same old play out of? Sure. You might have a new formation. You might have a new motion, but you're not changing the blocking up front. You're not changing the core play itself. And at this point, these coaches and these kids have a lot of confidence. So whether there's one surprise trick play, I think some coaches might get into that. But I think what you're going to see is a replication of the season for all 12 of these teams. And they're going to kind of ride what got them there.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's move on. What do we got, 4A?
We got 4A. Again, kind of an interesting story from the top of our conversation. We have Bishop Dwenger at 11-3 versus Columbus East. Two interesting stories. Dwenger, lost their quarterback last year and just had a horrendous season, really struggled, but here they are back in the state championship game. They're 11-3. And we have Columbus East at 14-0, a team that in 4A last year, Cathedral bounced out. So Columbus East has made a great comeback and are in the state championship game. You and I have talked about their junior running back, Markell Jones, all season. Coach, he ends the season with 40 touchdowns. He ends the season with 2,454 yards. So he's had a monster season, probably in the thick of things for Mr. Football next year. And Dwenger being a power, for a long time, it's kind of interesting. They're going for their first state title since 1991. You know, we talk about Dwenger's tradition an awful lot, but they haven't played in that game recently. So we have Columbus East, we have Bishop Dwenger. I got to believe that running back, Jones, is going to take the game over, and I have a feeling you're going to see Columbus East be successful. But again, another really, really good football game. And that game, Coach, is tomorrow at 3:30.
Well, we've talked about Columbus East for a couple years, and the thing that always nailed them was a team like Cathedral, the athletic ability or the speed or quickness. But you think this is their time. This is time for Coach Gattis and his team to break through.
I really do. We've talked all season, too. If you have some Division I kids on your squad, that just creates a little bit of separation from the rest of those 16- and 17-year-olds. And, again, talking about Markell Jones, holy cow, 40 touchdowns, 2,400 yards, and he's still got a game to play. So I think Columbus East, as long as that kid stays healthy today, they're going to be able to grind it out over the course of four quarters.
All right, what we got going for 5A?
Well, we have Westfield at 12-1. Never been in the state championship game. As I mentioned at the top, only 3 wins last year. Deserve a heck of a lot of credit. They play Cathedral, who's 9-5. That game is tonight. Going to be a lot of green in the building, Coach. You know, Cathedral, it's the Cathedral Irish, and Westfield are the Shamrocks. So it's going to be tough to see who's on whose side there. But Westfield's wearing the white jerseys. Cathedral's in the blue jerseys. Lots of people talking about this game. Feel like the X factor is Terry McLaren, the great wide receiver. Interesting stats. He's got over 800 receiving yards, over 600 rushing yards. He's got 11 touchdowns. Terry McLaren's the real deal. One of the best football players in the United States, let alone in the state of Indiana, going to Ohio State University. Westfield has a 6'4" quarterback, throws the ball very well, probably not a great runner. Westfield's coach, Jay Gilbert's in his third year, obviously a very good coach. He stayed the course in what he's believed in. But it's going to be, I think this is just going to be a heck of a football game. But Cathedral averages 35 points a game, Westfield averages 34. Both teams average 200 yards passing a game. And both defenses at times have stood the test, and at other times they've gotten beat up a little bit. So I think you're going to see a knockdown, drag-out fight. There's Division I kids on both sides of the ball. Cathedral has a tight end who's Division I. They have a center who's Division I. They have a tackle who's Division I. Westfield's got a defensive end. Another offensive lineman, and they have a wide receiver who's going to commit to, who has committed, Devin Reese has committed to Ball State University. So this is going to be a good one, and as the Indy Star says today, they're calling it a dream matchup. So a lot of green in the building, should be a lot of people at that game tonight at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be fun to see where the chips fall.
So when you look at this game, you know, Cathedral really hasn't been tested in the playoffs. You talked about earlier in the year the schedule being so great for Cathedral as far as slowing this game down. Do you still, in your mind, taking your personal feelings aside as far as family connection, do you see this, the Cathedral having the upper hand here?
The way I look at it is I think to say the upper hand would be a little bit too strong. I think what we have, what Cathedral has, is maybe a quiet confidence. Those kids have been in Lucas Oil so many times that they probably know the locker rooms better than the Colts, because we play there during the season. They play there in the state championship the last number of years. This is Westfield's first trek down there. You know, when the Cathedral kids walk in that stadium, they're not looking around with their eyes real big. They didn't even go down and practice there this week. They just stayed outside and just kind of grinded through their through their practices outdoors. I think there's no doubt that Westfield is the best team that they have played in the playoffs. Having said that, Westfield's not Mueller, X, or Trinity. My gut tells me, unless there's a breakaway play, I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if that first quarter ends 3-3, 7-7, 0-0, and everybody's just feeling everybody out. And then I just really think Terry McLaren's going to take the game over. Colin Barthel take the game over, and the Cathedral running game is going to take the game over. So I think the first quarter is going to be kind of a boxing match, and then the Cathedral offense. No one's going to run away from anybody, but I think that tough schedule is really going to make a difference when you get into the third and fourth quarter.
You know, Bill, you talk about not being wide-eyed. And for our listeners, I can tell you that each level of the tournament as you move on and you get into the TV part in high school, your game's on television. You have TV timeouts. Things are different. It does make a difference. The venue you play in, it does make a difference. And I think that's a great point you made. Cathedral's been there so often. The only downside is to take it for granted, which I don't think is going to happen. But you, as a coach, not just as a player, but as a coach, timeouts, they don't run the same way. Changes of quarter or halves don't run the same way. And you really, once you've experienced, you really understand that. But until you do, boy, it can make a big difference on how you decipher and how you imply and how you impart information. It just really does make a difference.
Well, it's an excellent point. I can tell you, if I can just share kind of a personal story, I think it's fair on your part to say possibly it could be taken for granted because they've been there so many times. Now, I have a freshman son. Now, he today, as a freshman, he may be taking it for granted that his big brother and the senior class are in the state championship. But let me tell you something. I saw Zach Somm's eyes this morning, and I saw Terry McLaren's yesterday morning, and those kids, there ain't nobody taking nothing for granted, because go back to the top of this phone conversation and your point. They're leaving their legacy, and they don't want to be the first team in the last 4, 5, 6 years to lose a state championship game. They want this class to be their class that won the first 5A championship. So by no means do I want your listeners to think there's an arrogance at Cathedral, because there truly isn't. If anything, there's an incredible amount of pressure, and Zach has touched on that this week with me, because he said all the alumni are coming back, and he just feels like he's playing the game not just for his senior class and his team and his coaches, but for all those players across the United States that have played for the Irish. So it's just going to be a great atmosphere. It's a, you know, there's 12 teams, as I said several times, and it's a great 2 days, and I hope the kids and the parents and alumni, they just take it all in. There's just going to be some knockdown, drag-out, individual battles out there today and tomorrow, and team battles.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think just hearing what you had to say, I think he understands how important it is and how to be in the moment with it. Let's look at the big class, the top of the rung. They've had 2 weeks, almost Super Bowl time, to prepare in the 6A. It should be a great final, I'm assuming, on paper anyway. Give us your take on, well, they're all healthy. They're all ready to go. It's a 2-week layoff. Let us know your thoughts on that championship game.
Well, lots of side stories, Coach. You have Carmel versus Warren Central. You know, Kevin Wright, the head coach at Carmel, was at Warren Central, was very successful there. You have Warren Central's new coach Jason West, who came over from Lawrence Central, who won it last year. So great side story there. You have Jeff George's son, the NFL great player Jeff George, whose son's name is Jeff George, also starting a quarterback for Warren Central. You know, he's 129 for 251 in passing, 1,700 yards, 18 touchdowns, a really nice high school quarterback. He's thrown to a wide receiver, Darius Lee, and a tight end, Zach Gagner, who's got 32 catches for over 500 yards. So that's a great side story. Carmel is doing something that probably you and I and everyone else says you can't do, which means we're wrong and Kevin Wright's correct. He's playing with two quarterbacks. He's used two quarterbacks the whole year. He's got a senior who throws the heck out of it for over 1,000 yards, and then he's got a junior, Isaac James, who has 12 touchdowns with 800 rushing yards. So Carmel brings a real dynamic challenge offensively because they run different pieces of offense with different quarterbacks, and they've made it work. And obviously, as we know, because we've talked all season, they have a great wide receiver slash tight end slash athlete in Austin Roberts, who's a big time Division I football player. It's going to be, you know, another just great game. And frankly, you know what's interesting about this? This is kind of the survival of the fittest because neither Carmel or Warren Central won the MIC. As we know, Centerville won the MIC. So it's just a great opportunity for these teams. Their Sagarin ratings are just right on top of each other. Carmel's got a 106, Warren Central's got a 104, and I think in this football game, to be totally honest, the team with the less turnovers, even though it's a bit cliche, the team with the less turnovers will survive and win this football game.
You know, the interesting thing about Warren Central, and I'm just kind of recalling conversations we've had throughout the year. Warren Central was on the blip, the radar, but they weren't that big red dot on the radar. You know, they were in and out, and who are they and what are they, and is George ready and that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, the playoffs hit, and they get the huge win over Center Grove. This is a team that, if you want to use the word peak, came together, figured it out, got everybody on the same page at the right time. They really have been playing their best football.
They really have, and I think the credit, obviously the kids, they work their butts off, but I think the credit also goes to Jason West, their head football coach. You know, we've talked a couple times. He really didn't show up on the scene until June, so he wasn't in the building all winter. He instituted a new offense. They struggled at the beginning of the year. They weren't real disciplined in the beginning of the year. And I think Jason West just kept his nose to the grindstone. I think the kids obviously believe in him. Jason has proven that he's a very good football coach. But, you know, he took Lawrence Central to the game last year and won. So I think a lot of credit goes to Jason. And, you know, you've got the great veteran in Kevin Wright. So it's, you know, credit to both squads, credit to Jason West and Warren Central, and there should be a lot of fans in Lucas Oil this weekend just because there's this, like I said, somebody's got to tell me when there were six better football games in the Indiana State Championship.
Well, if you just tuned in and are listening to the show, we're talking with one of my favorites, Bill Somm. He's our Indy Sports contributor, also former exec with the NCAA that contributes on that as well. Bill, before we end this segment, let's just recap the games quickly with your pick. You got to do it, Bill. You got to do it.
Okay. Well, here we go. Class A, we have Tri-Central versus Eastern Hancock, and I'll take Eastern Hancock in that game. They're 14-0. They played a more difficult schedule, and I think they're going to survive. In that Class 2A game, which is tomorrow at noon, we have Tifton at 11-3 versus Ritter at 12-2. I think I'm going to take Ritter simply because they were in that game last year. They got beat, and those seniors, this senior class has just been thinking about that every day for the last 12 months. In the 3A game, I got to take Rebuff Jesuit mostly because of emotion, because Mick Ressler is just a dear friend, but he has got his hands full. Probably if I took the emotion out of it, they may not survive that game. But I'm going to take Rebuff. In the 4A game, I got to go with Columbus East because of Markell Jones, the running back. We saw him play last year. I caught a game this year, and he's just so darn good. So I think Columbus East will be your 4A state champion. They play at 3:30 tomorrow. In that Class 5A game today, Westfield and Cathedral, the the marquee game at 7 o'clock in Lucas Oil. I believe that that game will probably end up around 28-10, and I think you'll see the Cathedral Irish survive and win their first 5A state championship. And then that number one game, Carmel versus Warren Central, I think the Warren Central dream is going to come to an end, and I would take Carmel. I think that they might just have a little bit more firepower.
Well, good stuff again, Bill. First of all, you've just been a great contributor all year. And just because football's over doesn't mean you go away. We'll always call on you for some different things. You've got six teams looking for their first championship. You've got a personal involvement, all those things going on. It's Thanksgiving holiday. Families are in. Fans are in. Alumni are in. They're all going to go out and watch those teams play. Lucas Oil Stadium, great venue. Football in the state of Indiana has really taken off. It's just become a major player on the scene, on the sports page. During the year, thousands of kids get ready to play football.
No doubt about it. I think that we talked all year about the increase in accuracy and enthusiasm of high school football coaches in the state of Indiana, which has bettered our sport, the kids' commitment, the fans' commitment. Folks like you talk about Indiana high school football on their shows. So I think it's been a great year. I think we took another step forward. We have some of the best athletes in the nation being recruited by some of the best teams in the best conferences. So I think football fans in this state should be very, very proud. I wish you and Joe a great holiday over the next month, and your family and your fans and your listeners have been awesome. So enjoy the next six games and have fun during basketball season.
Well, we'll bring you back a little bit later in the season yet. We'll find out if any of these teams have to deal with the success rule in the state of Indiana. Great to have you, Bill, as always. We're going to break. When we come back, we got more to talk about, I can tell you that. Happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl, Ish.
I'm not going to bowl. You are.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers!
Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're ready for the Coach K and Joe Show, Coach K mailbag. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. Trying to multitask here as Washington State hits a three to go up 14-12. Over the Boilermakers. The Boilermakers looking sloppy, especially their older players' coach. Are you ready for the mailbag?
I don't know. After that comment about the Boilers, I'm I'm kind of wanting to turn it on, and well, I actually do have it on, and watch a little bit more of that. You know, not that I don't want Purdue to do well, because of course we appreciate Elliott Booth and Coach Painter and all those guys, but it's okay when I see them struggle a little bit, Joe. But yeah, let's do a little mailbag while we view that on our TVs.
Okay, we've got the first question is from BK, Brian Kirkhoff, legendary Indiana high school baseball coach and coach of the Northeast Du Bois Chiefs, asks me, I heard that this is the best Bar Reef team ever. That's saying a lot. Coach K remembers some of those Bar Reef teams from the past. Apparently the move in from Texas is the real deal. Thoughts?
Great question from Coach, and I did get a chance to see Bar Reef play Washington at the Hatchet House the other night, Wednesday night. I think we posted a picture of that on our Facebook page. You know, it's tough to say this is the best Bar Reef team ever. I think they've had some pretty good teams over the last 30 years and some pretty good teams with the Dungeon different brothers that came through. Here's what I think about this team. They're ranked number one in 1A. They do have good guard play. They do have some post play. They have mid-range players. But this is a team that Coach Hughes, who does an outstanding job, and his record proves that. This is a team that I think is still growing in rhythm. You know, people say, well, they got a lot of guys back from last year, but this is a young team as far as what was coming back. They had a freshman point guard who's just a sophomore now. They had some guys that were injured who are back full-time now. They've got some guys that have had to grow a little bit into the scheme of what they're trying to do. I think that this team has a lot of room to expand its game. I don't know, Coach Kirkhoff, if this is the best Bar Reef team yet, but I do think that they have all the pieces to be one of the top 3 to 5 teams they've ever had. I would like to see them develop more in the high-low game. They have some guys that can post up. They're not 6'8". They're not 6'7". They're 6'4". And they're beefy, if you know what I mean. They take up space. And they've got to work on their post moves a little bit. They have a tendency to turn into their defensive man instead of seal him and take advantage of that. All that being said, it's early in the season, and they'll recover on that. I can't say that. I do think that for 1A, they are a pretty solid basketball team.
You ready for the next one?
Let's try it, Joe.
Okay, this is non-sports related, but apparently the person feels like you are an expert. For Mark in Jasper, I'd like Coach K's top 5 pizza pies.
I do like pizza. I'm not going to lie about that. And if you're in Jasper, you got to start with the Mill House. That's for sure. That's a good one. And, Joe, we all remember the calumet that no longer is in existence.
Oh,
but if
yeah.
Somebody get that recipe from Mrs. Reese, that would go a long way to making a pretty good pizza.
That or
Andrew. We ought to get that. Have that Pizza Joe.
No.
But to go on, I don't know if I can name my top 5. I do like that. I like Village Pizza up in Bloomington. I think it's pretty good. There's a pizza down here in Evansville. It's at Bill and Lyle Sports Bar and Pizza. I think it's a really good pizza. I like a lot of thin crust pizza. So Jimbo's in Washington, Indiana has a good pizza. I had a pizza in Ligoti the other day at Biggins, B-I-G-G-I-N-S. That was a good pizza. But I'm not going to go and just say 1 through 5. Sorry about that, Mark. I can throw out places that I think you can stop at least around here and get some pizza. But I'm always looking for the next great pizza, especially if it's thin crust. And I like crumbled sausage on my pizza.
Now, you know, if you're in Ligoti, just a little hint here, if you're ever in Ligoti on a Friday, I think it's Mondays and Fridays, the Pizza Junction Pizza Buffet. Well, it's top notch.
So you like
if you're ever there.
You like the buffet or you like the pizza?
Oh, both. I'll take it either day, but on Fridays I can have all kinds of different kinds of pizza.
Okay. Well, that's fair. And I'm not in for turkey pizza, so don't anybody suggest turkey leftovers on pizza, although barbecue chicken pizza, things like that, I love that. Joe, before we get back to any questions, I do want to bring up a couple of things. First of all, you know, we talk a lot about different sports, and one thing that I want to make sure our listeners, especially if you're girls, female basketball fans, girls teams, there is a young lady over in Mount Carmel, Illinois. Her name is Tyra Buss, and my brother-in-law, Jim Berger, outstanding pitcher for the University of the Evansville Aces, back with Andy Bennis and my brother John, he mentioned her yesterday, in fact, as I was getting ready for Thanksgiving, and he was getting ready to go to Thanksgiving dinner in Jasper. Tyra Buss, underclassman, she's just had a phenomenal career. I think last year, the young lady averaged like 36 points, 38 points a game. And if we have some girls basketball fans out there that know who I'm talking about, if you want to text 812-480-9449 or call into the show, you can do that and correct my stats. I think she averaged about 38 points a game. She already had 48 points in her last game this year. Name is Tyra Buss, Mount Carmel, Illinois. This gal can flat play basketball. I know everybody wants her. She may even have made a choice by now. I'm not even sure.
Yes.
But she can play.
You're going to be able to continue to cheer for her, and I think a girl from Modern Day have both verbally committed to the Indiana Hoosiers. And
well, that's
a great
step for Indiana.
Little side note here about Mount Carmel. If you want to see her play, I'm planning on going on Saturday, December 14th at the Cabby O'Neill Gym, historic gym, at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Jasper will be playing Mount Carmel, and I'm going not only to support the Wildcats, but also I'm intrigued and want to see her play.
Well, of course, Ryan Ernie, a former player of mine at Jasper, he's the head coach of the girls' team, and he does a great job for the Jasper girls' program. That will be interesting. And, Joe, if I don't get up for that game, absolutely give us an update, because I hear this gal is phenomenal. And the other girl you're talking about, I believe it's Munsterman from Modern Day.
Yeah, that's the name.
Yeah, she's pretty darn good as well. There's a lot of good girls basketball players around the state of Indiana and around the country, of course. There's another good player, upcoming player. I think she's a sophomore this year from Princeton High School in Princeton, Indiana. Her name escapes me right now, but she's an outstanding player as well. So just a lot of good players, whether you're female, whether you're male, whether you're college, high school, it doesn't matter. The second thing I thought we'd hit on, Joe, because we have to, this is rivalry weekend in football. You get the Michigans and the Ohio States, but for us, for you and I, it's Purdue and IU. Now, I know neither team is going to benefit from this as far as bowl game opportunities, but I do believe that Purdue, under new head coach, we knew they were going to struggle, Joe. It's been disappointing, to say the least, for the Boilermakers, a proud football program, but we knew they were going to struggle. This would be a game that would leave them with a good feeling as they try to put it together and improve for next year. This is a game that Purdue, I believe, needs even more than IU.
Well, my personal opinion is It's a no contest. You know, most of the time I say it's the old Oaken bucket game, but the IU offense, the defense, Purdue's defense will not be able to stop IU's offense. Now, IU's defense is ranked worse than Purdue's defense statistically, but I don't think Purdue's offense can muster enough points to stay with the IU offense. And, you know, I try to keep an open mind because, you know what, he was kind of left in a bad situation. The only thing I've been very disappointed in about Purdue this year is just the organizational part of it. They have stupid penalties all the time. They don't seem ready to play. And, you know, but at the same time, when I read Golden Black Illustrated, I do get a chuckle out of the people who say that Coach Hazel has one more year to right the ship. He was kind of left in a bad situation, and I don't think so. And those of you that think that he only has one more year, we are Purdue, and we are frugal with our money, and they're not going to pay him out, have a payout after 1 year. And those of you that thought he was going to come in and be a miracle worker, well, you know, when Joe Tiller came in and did it, Jim Coletto actually, was not a very good coach, but he did a pretty decent job recruiting. So he left the cupboards a little bit more full, but at the same time also, Coach Hazel's trying to teach a certain brand of football, a brand that I find boring, but he's the coach. He gets to decide, and he doesn't have the players to run that offense right now. So, you know, got to take your time. And coach, personally, I'm God. What's the line on this game? I might have to go bet on this. If they don't give IU enough points, I might have to go bet on IU.
Well, Joe, I understand everything you're saying, and I wonder. You talk about some of the disorganization, so I'm going to throw two things out at you, and just have you answer, and then I'll give you what I think on the IU side about the season. First of all, you talk about disorganization. So I'm going to throw these two things at you. One, was Coach Hazel not ready to step in to a program in the Big Ten this size, this situation? Did he underestimate what he was stepping into? Or two, does he have to really look at his staff and say, is this staff prepared to move this team into Big Ten contention, or at least upper half of the Big Ten to have the opportunity to play in some prominent bowls?
I think he'll right the ship. I just think that I don't like some of his hires. John Shoup, the offensive coordinator with the Bears and wherever he's been, has just ran a boring type offense that you know, it's just too predictable. And maybe Coach Hazel is never going to open it up, but, you know, that's kind of what we've always been used to at Purdue. I think Coach Hazel will be fine. I think he's a good facilitator of things. I just, you know, just the little things like cloth management, et cetera, that I think can be. I know they're playing a lot of freshmen, but, you know, I do want to say that. So, you know, you got to kind of live with that when you play that. But I don't know. I right after the game, I might have to head out, though. NBA correspondent Don Schulteis just texted me the line's 21, and I think that IU will cover that no problem.
Well, let me give you the flip side. Let me give you the Hoosier side. This has been a disappointing season, and I know at the beginning of the year we made some predictions, and you probably still have them, unfortunately. And I really thought the Hoosiers, you know, could win 7 games. And really be in contention for a solid bowl bid. I thought the offense, which I think I was proven correct, is a top-notch offense. It can score points, and it can score points quickly. But I really thought that defensively, the Hoosiers would have upped their game a little bit. This is a team that continues to struggle on the defensive side. And the defensive coordinator, Doug Mallory, I mean, there are a lot of people looking at Coach Wilson and saying, what are you going to do? Is he the guy to get it done on the defensive side? Do we need to make a change? Do you make the change now because you still have a high-octane offense in place You still have an offense coming back. How do you read the defensive personnel? Is the talent there or is it not? Is it the coaching staff or is it not? Are there some players that are going to come in that can help step this defense up and get them to 7 wins? Obviously, Missouri Joe was a better team than everybody thought they were. There's no doubt about it. But Navy wasn't. Minnesota, you're inside the 9. Whatever happened, whether it was a poor play being called, whether it was a mistake by the players, misread, whatever it is, it didn't happen. And we end up losing a game that we really were in a position after a major comeback to win, only to see it fall apart with a turnover. I think the biggest issue that IU fans have, even though I'm still a Coach Wilson supporter, is we got to do something about the defense. We've given it a chance. We brought in some players. We still didn't get better. And Joe, I think when we have Don Fisher on at some point, he'll probably talk about the same thing Mark Deal said to us. At times the defense showed some improvement, or at times they showed some growth. They got us some stops. But you know what? The bottom line is this. Just as you say Purdue looked unorganized, making mistakes too often, they had the great game with Notre Dame, only to follow up with a terrible game. The IU defense has shown no consistency from game to game, and a lot of times from possession to possession. I love the Mallory family. I love the legacy they have in football and at IU. I want our defensive coordinator at IU to succeed. Are we that far down in the recruiting ranks as far as a football program that we can't bring some better defensive players in from the junior college, from somewhere, to get this defense rolling? Is it the schemes we're running? Is it the motivation? I don't know. I think that we have a high-octane offense like Purdue's been used to. I think we'll have it next year. I think we'll have it the year after. But at some point, if you don't put a defense in place, it kind of reminds me of the old San Diego Chargers under Air Coryell. They had these high-octane offenses, and they just couldn't seem to move through the playoffs. Well, we ain't even going to get to the bowl game if we don't get something done defensively.
Well, we had a question last week about Coach Mallory and would he be let go, and, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Shoup, and, you got to ask yourself, though, you know, as far as players go, as far as IU and Purdue goes, I know it's Purdue offensive line, they've just not been real happy with their recruiting the junior college ranks heavily, and I just think that an IU and a Purdue almost got to do something like that just for the fact that case in point, Drew Tranquil, free safety out of Fort Wayne, I think Carroll High School, had committed to Purdue and got an offer from Notre Dame, a big dog, and guess what? Purdue no longer has a commitment from Drew Tranquil. And, those guys are always going to come and poach the big talent. The thing that Purdue and IU have to do is find that diamond in the rough that might not have gotten the notification. But in this day and age of the Internet and et cetera, and who knows if that can happen anymore, but junior college is probably going to have to be the place where they go to look for the talent. And, I think that IU's got a – it's kind of like in the Antoine Randall era. I mean, they had a bowl team offense with a terrible defense. So, Antoine Randall never played in a bowl, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
that's my concern. My concern is we've got this high-octane offense, and we saw it coming last year, and we really did think, and I'm among them. I thought we brought in some pretty solid defensive players. I know Don Schulteis, our Indy contributor on High School Hoops, in a couple of our rants, talked about the fact that, yeah, these guys were highly rated, but what have they done? And the number of tackles, sacks, assists, you know, so are we that weak in the other positions, or is the type of defensive scheme we're using not allowing their talents to be seen? Joe, how many times, especially I think in football, and I know in basketball, sometimes you have these talented players, but the type of offense or the type of defense you run doesn't allow that talent or that skill to be seen. And so that would be the question. I hate to talk about that coming into this Purdue-IU game, because what can be done to salvage a season? Not really anything other than bragging rights within the state.
Yeah, that's all we're playing for this year. The we'll call it the Hoosier Bowl, you know, because that's what it is. IU's fared a lot better than Purdue this year, and at least they've been competitive in games. But ultimately, they both end up at the same place for the holidays, home, and we'll see. I mean, you know, I'm Purdue 23, Washington State 17. There's a little update for you with 1:19 to go in the half. But
I think
both schools are going to be looking forward to the seasons coming up with their hoops teams, over what they've had with the with their football squads this year.
Well, it is disappointing, and everybody is turning to basketball. Of course, Indiana fans have Coach Crean and his Hoosiers to look forward to, a young team that is really starting to show promise early, and I'm seeing it. Purdue, a team that, even in their defeat the other night, Joe, scored 87 points against Oklahoma State. So this is a team that couldn't buy a basket last year. Couldn't buy, I mean, nobody would have taken any money to give them a basket. They couldn't buy a basket last year. They're showing some definite promise and fluidity on the offensive end. One more major game to talk about, just from a standpoint, mystique standpoint, before we move on to something else. Michigan, Ohio State. Right now, Ohio State is a 14-point favorite against a Michigan team that I don't know if they've disappointed. I didn't expect a whole lot out of this Michigan team, but I truly believe that it would be a enormous upset if Brady Hoke and his Michigan Wolverines could win this game. I'm not sure 14 points. I think 14 points isn't enough points. I think Ohio State could win this by 3 touchdowns or more.
Yeah, I think, and you know, interestingly, it's starting to hear some grumblings about Brady Hoke and that he might be on the hot seat, which I'm not quite sure of, but I've been hearing that as well. And yeah, I've got a son who's a big Michigan fan, and he's looking forward to tomorrow's game as much as I'm looking forward to the old Oakham Bucket. So,
well, it's not going to be anything. I don't see a lot of enthusiasm for the old Oakham Bucket game, at least in the past few years, even though Purdue wasn't great, and IU, of course, was not good at all. There was the opportunity that maybe we can beat Purdue and keep them out of a bowl game or something like that, but there's just not much there right now. Let's turn our attention. I don't know if you have any more questions or not. You have any more questions for the mailbag, Joe?
I have one more question. Let me pull it up here. And actually, the person texted this in, but I'm not sure who it is because they didn't give me a name, and I asked them for a name, and they never gave it to me. So are there any candidates for Indiana All-Star Team from Southern Indiana this year?
Wow. That's a great question. I think Duncan from Harrison, he's a senior. He would definitely be a candidate for the All-Star team. I'm just thinking through Central, you know, just the different teams in this immediate area. I don't know. I would not say that there is a legitimate candidate for the Indiana All-Star team, except for Ernie Duncan. And if you ask that question, if our if our listener asks that question a month from now, I'll be able to answer it a little bit better because I'll have talked to some coaches, I'll have talked to some people involved with the Indiana All-Star Search, and I'll be able to get a little bit better read for it. But when you talk about the Big Eight Conference, Joe, or you talk about the SIAC Conference, I think you look over towards New Albany, Floyd Central. There's nobody that jumps out at me right now, and you might say, well, there's some pretty good players in 1A and 2A, but nobody that I would say jumps out at me as an Indiana All-Star candidate. You know, I was fortunate in my career that I was a part of coaching for 4 years or partial 4 years helped developing four Indiana All-Star players. And it is a tough, it's tough to get chosen for that game. Farouk Mojazinovic, Michael Lewis, Scott Rowland, and Toby Madison, all of them I coached at one point at least for a partial part of their high school career or spent a number of years helping to develop them as well. And not only do you have to make them good basketball players, standout players, but you also have to get out and politic for them. You also have to get out and PR for them. You have to make sure people know they're there and what they bring to the table. And I know Scott Rowland, I've told this story before, but it's worth mentioning with the question, Joe. When Scott Rowland played for me, of course he was an outstanding player. He got hurt in the sectional before the game. We got beat by a solid Forest Park team in what was considered by many the greatest high school game, Southridge sectional game played. He had 47 points, I believe, and he still had an ankle as big as a grapefruit. But we did get beat. But he went into baseball. I spent the next 3 weekends up in Indianapolis getting together with the guy, key member of the Indiana All-Star team just to get him that opportunity to go to the top 40 workout and then get him pulled onto the team because of the baseball conflict. But he did make the Indiana All-Star team, and he had a great series with Kentucky. He was one of their top players in that tournament. So long story short, and I obviously make a lot of short stories long, I don't know of any at this point that I would call definite Indiana All-Stars, although I think Ernie Duncan has a good chance of making the team.
Okay, that's all the questions I have for this week.
Okay, let's talk about some of these college basketball teams. Of course, you've been talking about Purdue, Indiana, Kentucky. Let's talk about one of our favorite teams and a coach who spends a lot of time with us here on the show, Michael Lewis, the Butler Bulldogs. They're off to an outstanding start. They had a win over Washington State, and I think they take on Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State tonight, yep.
I mean, here's a team that lost arguably one of the top basketball coaches in college to the Boston Celtics, lost some key players to graduation. But the Butler way continues, at least early in this season, to be successful.
Yeah, they've had a successful season. I like seeing it. I like seeing it just for the fact that I don't want to push him out the door, but I'm ready to talk to head coach Michael Lewis someday on the show.
Well,
and, you know, I think he's a very big part of their success.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. Michael has a great pedigree, and he'll be there at some point. Kyle Dunham had 30 points, 30-plus points maybe the other night, played very, very well. All their young recruits have played well for him. This is going to be a big game. The listeners in the Indiana area, even nationally, you know who Butler is. Back-to-back, final game, NCAA final game appearances. Literally, the ball banks a little differently, and they go on and win a national championship. They lose their best player to early draft in the NBA, still come back for a second one. This is a program that right now foundationally is dug in. And this game tonight with Oklahoma State, they are a good, good team. It will be interesting to see how Butler holds up. We'll find out a lot about them, just like we said we'd find out a lot about U of E versus Indiana. We found out that Indiana, talent-wise, mentally, basketball IQ was just, on that night for sure, further ahead than Coach Simmons' Aces. But having said that, I think Coach Simmons will use that experience in Bloomington to better his team going forward. Creighton, another team that we've heard for years out of the NBC, they switch conferences. They're off to a great start and doing well. There's just so many teams in college basketball as we start this season that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be breaking down. We're going to be looking at, is Michigan State really number one? Take the first 8 minutes out of that Kentucky game. I know what you're just saying. Coach K, have you lost it? You got to play the first 8 minutes. That's not my point. That's not my point. If you take those 8 minutes and push this game back a little bit, Kentucky's a different team. If they played today, I'm not so sure Michigan State would win that game. I don't think they would. Kansas is good with a freshman, Wiggins. Arizona's a solid team. Kentucky, Duke's up there. Ohio State, sorry, Big Ten fans, I think Ohio State's overrated, and I think we will see that my words are accurate on that. Louisville took a loss. So many good teams. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Joe's letting me know that. I do want to mention college football is far from over. We've got the rivalry games. But the big thing is Alabama-Auburn. What's going to happen there? Auburn, an upstart team, really, folks, it has been. And they've gotten better every week. Can Florida State stub their toe and allow the Buckeyes a chance to jump into that title game? If Alabama loses to Auburn, Joe, if Alabama loses to Auburn, will they still be number two and be in that national title game? Maybe they're not number one, but do they stay number two in the BCS and play for the national title? What do you think about that? If Alabama loses to Auburn, do they drop out and Ohio State and Florida State play for a national championship?
I still don't know. I've always had the opinion that all that's a little SEC biased. So my opinion goes to that. And, you know, Ohio State, I mean, really, I mean, do you think that they might have, did they hurt their chances at all last week? And, you know, a lot of people were saying it could be a really ugly game, that they felt like Ohio State had to put about 70 on IU just from a shock factor as far as the polls and all that stuff. And I don't know. I don't know if that mattered or not, but I thought IU, you know, they did get beat, but, you know, they didn't get crushed by any means.
I just wonder if, you know, Alabama always gets the benefit of the doubt. How many times have they had a loss and end up playing for a national championship? So I'm wondering, this late in the year, let's say they get beat by a good Auburn team, does Alabama still stay in? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the computer spits all this stuff out in football. But I know the Buckeye fans are just sitting there hoping for something to happen. Or this could be a Big Ten team that goes 2 straight years undefeated and doesn't have a chance to play for a national championship. We're just about done with the show. Joe, what we got left time-wise?
We have got about 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Actually, 90 seconds. The lady just popped me in my ear. 90 seconds.
Well, I tell you, I wish I would have asked that Alabama question earlier and given some of our listeners a chance to give us some feedback. But if you have your thoughts on where Alabama should be if they end up losing, please text us or send us a message via Facebook or something like that. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. and I really enjoyed my time with my family. Couldn't get together with all my brothers and sisters, but the ones I did, I had a great time, and having my mother-in-law, and as I talked about earlier, just going through the history of the quilts and different things that she's done. Joe, there's just something about being around your family. It just makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. You know, there's people that, you know, family that you don't see much of the year. I mean, you guys might be different, but, you know, I don't see a whole lot until those holidays, and that's what makes them a little special, because you get to visit with some family that you haven't seen in a while, and you know, makes for a great time, and you know, at the Milligan Thanksgiving, which we haven't had yet, you know, we'll argue IU and Purdue, and the wives will all get mad, but that's just the way it is.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, we had a great show. You know, post-Thanksgiving, a lot of people take off, but we didn't take off at the Coach K and Joe show. We were here ready to talk sports, give you the truth, at least our truth, and we certainly enjoyed spending this holiday weekend with all of you. So, Joe, if you're ready, take us home, and we will talk to everybody next week on the Coach K and Joe show.
Okay, we'd like to wish all the teams in the Indiana High School Football State Championship this week good luck from the Coach K and Joe show. And hopefully next week, maybe, you know, we'll stay in touch with the Pacers, and we'll continue working on getting Coach Vogel on here to talk about the great start that the Indiana Pacers have had. So for Coach K, this is Joe Milligan. We'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.